Howdy, folks, and welcome to the Moose Podcast number 435, Things Great and Small. Trust you've had a mighty fine week. As you're about to hear, I had not one too shabby myself. Kind of makes it the joy of going out just that much sweeter when you have those successes. So, yep, we're going to just keep moving that ball forward. Can you believe it? It's already February 2025. Oh my gosh, I tell you, that clock. Hey, I am still using the Adobe Beta podcast with its AI voice enhancements. What does that mean? Well, it means I'm not going in the audition having to mix and clean things up manually. It's doing it for me, which is really nice. I don't want somebody to think that I'm replicating my voice somehow to do this. No. This is live from me. So anyway, what it does do is provide a bunch of things. So you go to the blog post on the website, you're going to find the transcript there. You can download. You can listen to the podcast, and any links I have for that particular show will be down listed below. Makes it easy for me to go and put this on Spotify, Amazon, all those places. Spotify, keep in mind, it also has the transcript and has the podcast, but the cool thing it has, and I thank those people who have been doing it, is you can leave comments and we can have a conversation. You know, I'm here to help any way I can. Don't want to be untouchable. I want you guys to come out and reach out for help. Because let me tell you, if there's a landmine out there, I've stepped on it twice or three times. No reason for you to have a blow up on you. I've already taken up lumps and pains. So, come and ask comments. Let me see if I can help you through it. Now, if you weren't aware, Adobe, a lot of people are talking about the bump in the plan price. Yeah, I don't know if anybody, it has to be just me, but yeah, everything is ticking up. Right, it's just nothing is staying down. Everything's going up. So, I think in my own personal opinion, the increase they have is like, well, for me, it's the best program for my photography. I want to use it, so that's that. Move on forward. One of the coolest things they've done, though, if you open Adobe Camera Raw. Yes, I'm an Adobe Camera Raw user. I'm not a Lightroom user. Is that in Adobe Camera Raw, when you go into their settings and you click on the technology AI and close the box and then relaunch Adobe Camera Raw, you'll find denoise is now a one-click step. And you'll find that under the healing brush. I can't think of it. I should have looked that up. Anyway, excuse me. You will find in the healing section, you will find a couple extra little things appear there, like for removing reflections, which I talked about in a blog post a couple weeks back. People haven't seemed to get the word yet about that. And I want to tell you, it's just magical. Whoever the engineer who came up with that stuff, man, tip of the hat to you, because it's just way cool. So if you aren't aware of that, that is there as well. So, you know, these tools keep coming from Adobe. Yeah, you're going to pay a little bit more, but they constantly are giving us updates all year round. Yes, I remember the day all too well when the new round of Photoshop would come out, you'd order it. And this box would come and all these CDs would come and you'd spend all this time installing it. And then if there was an upgrade, you had to buy the upgrade, install it. And yes, you own the software, but you could still own the software. The tools you would not have available if you own the software from back then. Because, you know, it's kind of like Nikon's firmware. You know, they've done like 150-something firmware updates on the Nikon Z bodies. Just going with the Z9, they've gone from 1 to now they're 5.1. Every one of those firmwares are free. And each time the camera just gets more powerful. You know, these engineers in first crafting a camera that does what it does, and then in a way that it can keep taking these firmwares, take advantage of it, because it's a free new camera. Most of the firmware updates are pretty beefy, and they give you features you didn't have before, menu items that weren't available, literally. It's great stuff. So keep on top of this stuff, guys. Keep on top of it. It's remember, our fun and passion's out taking photographs. So don't let this other stuff get in your way. Talking about keeping it fun, my good friends at Bedford Camera, bedfords.com. Yeah, these guys keep it fun. They are in the continual process of making photography fun and keeping it fun for us, which is such an important part of this process. Need the gear, need the service, need the price. Check out my good friends at Bedford's Camera online, in person, on the phone, and just make sure you say, Moose sent me. And at the end of the purchase, you'll see that 5% back on your purchase. That's right, 5% back. That's real money. So, and that's on top of other things. So Bedford's, they're my dear friends. They'll be yours too, bedfords.com. Things great and small. No, I wasn't watching PBS. Well, I was, but no, I wasn't watching that series. No. It's easy. It's real easy. As the world gets a little more complicated, a little more chaos, that we lose sight of things. And some things get to be so overwhelming that the smallest of things get lost. In Yellowstone last week, very first day, very first morning, my good friend Michelle Velberg had been out the day before on Sunday, and they had seen the Wapiti Lake Pack. And the Wapiti Lake Pack and I go back a long ways. They have provided me so many photographic opportunities. Last year, we found them over on the Firehole River, where they had the day before taken down a bison. So we came on in a day after, kind of what was left of it, and got to spend some time with a few members. And we've had other moments of individuals or at the last moment of a meal. Well, on Monday last week, they're in Hidden Valley by Grizzly Point. Yeah, Grizzly Point. Fun fact, back in the long time day, that was just a little dirt turnout that Sharon and I would always park at and have our wine and look out over Hayden Valley in the summer. It's a gorgeous place. Anyway, we were there and happened to come up and we saw there were some people there. Not many. Come think about it. Maybe 20 photographers, and their guides. And we were there for a heartbeat. And the wolves were off to the east. And there's a little small herd of about 10 bison to the west. So we turn around on snow coat. During that short period of time, the wolves started to move towards the bison. And they weren't really being aggressive kind of moves. So I wasn't really sure, but we got out anyway. Long lenses, hand-holding. Something told me something was going to happen real fast. I didn't know what. Now, to set the stage, you got to keep in mind that I have been in Yellowstone hoping to spend time with wolves for decades. I was up in Denali quite a bit. I had a marvelous encounter with a single wolf up there. Always be etched in my mind. They're such an amazing animal. This wolf in Denali came right up to me. I was kneeling down against the tire of the Explorer and the 7200, and it just came right up and kind of sniffed at me and just kind of looked at me, kept on going. And anyway, in place, when all of a sudden, and it's the only way you can express it, all of a sudden, 6, 7, 8 of the wolves just burst after the herd. And the herd instantly went from just kind of not being comfortable to instant panic. And they're bolting off to the left. And they're just no real audible. I was surprised by that. No real audible. The wolves are coming right up, and the last animal in the herd turned, did a 180 wheel really fast. Man, well, anybody would think that they should go and pet a bison. They should have seen this, because it spun and turned so quickly. And it went after the wolves. You can't quote me on this because I don't know the pack that well. But the first three seemed like younger pups. They didn't seem like they were really quite proficient yet at this. So when that bison spun, the wolves, they spun, went the other direction. And I laughed. I was like, wow, okay. That didn't last long. It's what I said in my head, you know, and all of a sudden, the bison stopped, the wolves stopped, the bison spun again and ran back up to its herd. The wolves said, "Hmm," and they said, "Okay," and there they go. And the bison that was doing the chasing. And of course, I'm looking at my photographs to know all this chronology and who was what, because I've studied them. I didn't delete a one. I'll get in a minute. And they go up. And now there was a second to the last one. And this is the part that's going to always leave a question in my mind. And I'm real possible I'm reading into it. But the second to the last one, it just seemed like it knew it needed to bite the bullet for the herd, which in this case is a fatal bite, right? Because it ain't going to make it. Well, the herd's going off in one direction, and this lone animal peeled off to the left and kind of made this little loop. It is all happening in a very small area of distance. Hayden Valley is huge. And I should mention that this was probably at the almost optimal positioning placement a photographer could ever want to see all this. And this one cow goes off and starts and hits this really deep snow. And it wasn't real deep snow, but it found a deep patch. And as it made this turn, it went maybe 25, 30 yards, the wolves caught onto his haunches. And I knew that was it. It was going to be over with. It was over with. And that bison was gone. It was just unbelievable. How unbelievable? I spent the next 12 hours, 6 hours Monday and 6 hours Tuesday, in that spot. I have never seen a takedown and kill ever. My guide, Bob, who's been there for 30 years, he'd never seen a takedown and kill ever. But other friends who were there who are guides, they had never seen a takedown or a kill ever. We'd all come upon the scene afterwards. We never had seen that moment. And the thing about it, it's just unbelievably overwhelming. It's hard to take it in and then tell its story. And you might be going, what about the blood? Yeah, the blood doesn't happen for a long time. And even then, if you look at the scene 4 days later, I went back 5 days later, all you saw was a little bit of pelt left and a lot of beaten down snow. That sacrifice that cow made, if that's in case what happened, every part of her was used. Nature consumed it all. Now, this happened downslope from us. Had to use a 2X. Plenty of image size. Did have to deal with quite a bit of heat shimmer and hoarfrost in the air, which really, really played with sharpness. But I just kept shooting, and I shot video. I could not get enough of it. The second day, the wolves were fat and happy. They were in the sun, rolling around, taking long naps out there. There's this one black wolf that went to his pine tree, and I saw it and called it out. It was just jumping up and down, trying to grab things out of the pine tree. And we're like, what the hey? And brought down a branch. It was really going at it. 10 minutes later, two wolves go over that same tree, start doing the same thing. Then we see the raven in the tree. And ravens are there at the carcass. And the wolves, I don't know if it's because, I don't think it's for maliciousness. I think it's just fun to chase them. But the ravens are getting tidbits and they go into the tree with them. And I think the wolves smell those tidbits the ravens are leaving in the tree. But you just kept seeing this one wolf go boing, 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 boing. It was just hilarious. You saw the pups, which last year's pups, which now look like full grown adults. They're not quite yet, but they're just that big. And they're running back and forth, just having a heck of a good time. Just amazing. And to me, that whole experience, man, that's about as great as they get. To me, that's just 30 years of time put in for a reward I would never have thought would come. Let alone in that way, it couldn't have been served up on a silver platter any better. Well, I told the group that was with me that we were basically screwed for the rest of the week, Because when we have that the first 2 days, it's going to be really hard, really hard to find anything that comes anywhere close to that as far as subject or elation or rewards, at least on that kind of a par. So then the very last day, we have to leave Hayden Valley in the snow coach around 2:30-ish, 3 at the latest, because the Park Service wants everybody out by 5 for a number of reasons. Grooming, they don't want to start looking for people in the dark, things like that. So we have to start our way back from Hayden to West, and it takes a little bit. So it was the very last, I knew it was going to be the last shoot of the week. It was right then. And as it turned out, we're back at Grizzly Point again. And which just like, wow, kizma. And the coyotes, which had been around since the moment of the kill started, there was one there. And it wasn't really a photo op, but we were kind of hungry for a photograph. It had been kind of a quiet day. So we stopped to photograph it. And I look out, and here's this pair of ravens. And this pair of ravens, they mate for life. You can see the male and female. The male was just talking up a storm. And I heard it, didn't look at it, because it's just ravens, right? And it's like, I know ravens is, sure, not a pet raven. So I have lots of nice shots of ravens. And I'm sitting there thinking about it, and I come back and look to see what all the squawking's about. And they had moved from this little parking barrier, wood log thing there at Grizzly Point, and moved to the branch of a dead tree. And I just happened to look at him with a tree behind him. And every time that male called, I could see his voice. Now, a photograph I wanted for a long time. Worked really hard this last fall, I worked really hard spring of 2025 to get the shot of a yellow wing blackbird breath while it was calling. None that really were exciting. So here's this pair of ravens, and the male just kept calling, and I could see his breath. And I just kept shooting because it's like, oh my, I've been wanting this shot for as long as the wolves. And it's just such a small thing, but it brings such great pleasure. So I guess you could say the moral of this podcast is we go out looking for those big, grand firework display, massive kind of moments. And we get them sometimes. But we have to keep our eyes open for the smallest little things, because the smallest things are just as grand in their own way and will make a great photograph. You folks have a marvelous week. Get out there and shoot. And remember to make every click your story.